Praise the Lord. In Psalm 112, the psalmist says, Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Yes, perhaps just this one verse. I believe that if we delve deeper into this verse, it has a lot to say to us. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. What will happen to all the others who do not fear the Lord? We might ask, Oh, but I think God has a people. God has people who fear Him, who gather in reverence before Him, and who offer Him honor and praise, who greatly delight in His commandments. And you know, that has always been the desire of the living God, that His people should be mindful of His commandments. Perhaps I would just like to read what is written in the prophet Jeremiah 11. Here Jeremiah has to bring these words from God and present them to the people and show them what God had told him to do. In Jeremiah 11 it says, The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Hear ye the words of this covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, from the iron furnace, saying, Obey my voice, and do them according to all which I command you. So shall ye be my people, and I will be your God. These are precious words. And here we see that it has always been important to honor the Lord, to heed the word and the commandment of the living God. Only those who pay attention to His word are His people, as we have learned from these words, who tremble in awe before Him, who come to Him, and who are willing to obey His word and believe, beloved. Only those are His people. All others, beloved, we have read about them, what they are facing. But for those who heed His word, we can only say, Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. You know, then comes the bliss not of people, but the blessedness of God. That is the main thing, beloved. Most people only seek prestige and that they are well regarded by people. But God's people want what comes from God. And that's what you and I want. What good is it what people say, what people do? We want what God says about us. We want that. And we want to listen to it. We have read it here. It wasn't just about leading the people out of bondage, out of the iron furnace, out of captivity. No, it was about God wanting them to serve Him, to listen to His word. That is what God was about. And we ask ourselves, what is God about today, beloved? Is God concerned that you only have a form of godliness? Or is God concerned that we listen to His instructions, to His word, to His commandments that He has left us for our days? Is it not the same as in those days? That is what God is concerned with in these days. And only those are the people of God, beloved. The others, beloved, we don't want to judge anyone. That's not what we are here for. But we are here to recognize what God is saying to us, what He wants to say to us, and to respond to His words. Here, these words are so precious given to us and have been so marvelously spoken to us, that I may perform the oath which I have sworn unto your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then answered I and said, so be it, O Lord. Yes, amen. So it must be, beloved. God wanted to keep the covenant. He made the promise to bring them into the land flowing with milk and honey, which He had sworn to their fathers. But, beloved, when we look back, we see what happened. They all perished in the desert. And why, beloved? Because they pursued their own thoughts, because they went their own ways and did not listen to what God was saying, but they began to murmur, they began to complain and went their own ways. But God kept the covenant with those who believed Him, and they were allowed to enter the promised land. Dear brothers and sisters, it is the same in our day. God upholds His covenant in our day as well. We can rely on it. And all those who listen to His word in these days will obtain the promise. Oh, what marvelous grace God has bestowed. We can be glad that God is not a man, but that God is God. What He promises, He certainly keeps. Praise and thanks be to His glorious name. Perhaps just the next two verses from the prophet, and then we'll pray straight away. Then the Lord said unto me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant, and do them. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. Beloved, when we read these verses, we read them, then it really is a sad thing. They have heard the voice of God. They have seen the work of God, the great mighty hand of God. And yet, as it is written here, they walked according to the stubbornness of their evil heart. I believe that this is an example for our time, that we should reflect, that we should do soul searching and ask the Lord to give us a humble heart so that we can always come before Him humbly and in humiliation and say, Lord, help us and give us grace that we may not walk according to the stubbornness of our evil heart, but that we may be attentive to your spoken word for our time. Brothers and sisters, I believe that also this morning we want to ask our God to give us grace as we continue to listen to His word, that we may receive it, that we may not rebel against it. But if we do not yet understand it, that we may ask, Lord, be gracious to me and open up your word to me. Open up my understanding to your word, to your promises, and to all that you want to say, that I might surrender my understanding to your word, and that I might be there only for you and obey as your word says. It is not a matter, dear brothers and sisters, that we just come and hear the word of God, but God must give grace so that we can also obey His word. We have to do that, beloved. Otherwise, we are in a bad way. But I have faith that God has called us, that He has appointed us, and that He wants to be gracious to us, even in these days, and that He will help us to go through everything so that we can come from believing unto seeing for what He has destined us for. And for this, we also want to offer Him honor, praise, and worship this morning. Let us stand up and pray for His blessing together. Faithful God, we stand in this place this morning with your word that you spoke to your people in those days. Today, you speak to us, O Lord. May you give us instructions on how to walk. You have already done so, and you will continue to lead your people and guide your people. Faithful Lord, I ask you to take out of us everything that opposes your word and give me and all of us grace to receive it in a fine and good heart. Give us hearts of flesh, O Lord, that we ponder on this, that we may believe this, and that we may act accordingly. Give grace to my brother as he brings your word, and give us grace as we may hear, worship to your glorious name. O Lord, we are so thankful that we do not have to listen to fables of men, but that we may have your precious and holy and true word, and believe it and obey it. Worship to your glorious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. All of us who were here last night are still grateful today for the marvelous hours we were allowed to spend together before the Lord. I heard our brother Helmut speak for the first time. What he said was very fine, very fine. God blessed us abundantly in the post-celebration of this wedding, and we remembered anew that we have been invited to the great marriage supper of the Lamb. And we know that it is drawing ever closer. The day of the Lord's return is drawing ever closer. And we are grateful for that too. With joy, we will cheer the Lord when it goes up, because we will be with Him always and will have forgotten forever what was before and will no longer remember the former conditions. Otherwise, our joy would always be clouded, and that cannot be. This morning, I listened to a sermon of Brother Branham, which I actually wanted to translate, but it is a little tailored to the end of the year, and perhaps doesn't quite fit here. But he made a statement in it. He said, "We as humans can forgive, but we cannot forget." And he says, the quality of God is to forgive and forget. He mentioned the story, which you all know, of this one old brother that the daughter had taken from the country, and they had a party at the house. And she didn't want this man, who was always thanking the Lord loudly from being overwhelmed, to interrupt this party. And she said, "Listen, I'll take you up there. You will be all to yourself, completely undisturbed, and I'll give you a book on geography." She was afraid that if she gave him the Bible, it would be all over for him. Then the praising and thanking would start again. And he had just read the passage in the Bible that God had thrown our sins into the sea where it is the deepest. And now he was reading in this book. They had their feast down and he was up. And then he read in it that a place had been discovered in the sea whose bottom could not be discerned at all. Yes, where the depth could not be measured, bottomless. And then he remembered the scripture and thought, that's where God has thrown my sins. They have simply disappeared where it is the deepest. And suddenly, he interrupts the whole party and begins to thank, praise, and glorify. And the daughter runs up, embarrassed as she was, and says, "Listen, I didn't give you the Bible. How come you are getting so loud here? And what's going on?" And then he explained it to her. Beloved, God's Word has so much to say to us, because what it says is true. We can rely on it. And we don't need to hide what God has given us. We can always confess it. We have heard serious words. I wish I had done the introduction and left the second part to Brother Rus. The words we heard were very serious. God making a covenant with His people is a wonderful thing, but it is also an obligation. It is a contract that God has entered into with His people. And this contract always has two sides. Both must agree to the contract. God has drawn it up, and we have to agree to this covenant contract. And it will indeed be the case that God will deal worse with those who have broken His covenant than with those with whom a covenant has never been established. People who have never heard God's word will be better off than those who have heard it 1,000 times over and not acted on it. And the same is true of this message that God has given us from His word for these days. All will be better off who have never heard it compared to those who have distorted it and turned it upside down and scolded it beyond recognition. The others will be better off to hear the voice of the Lord, to hear His word. Is a marvelous thing. But what a responsibility comes with a moment. What a responsibility towards God and His word. And that is why we need holy reverence for this precious and holy word that has come forth from the mouth of God. When I think of translating, I sympathize with those who translate because I know how difficult it is in another language. Even some Bible passages are actually expressed differently, and it's not always easy to render it the way it is in the first language. I hope that Brother Kupfer and whoever translates will be patient with us and that we will be blessed together. I just read Jeremiah 14 very briefly, and dear God has already almost brought a judgment to His lips and has said some things that were delivered to the people. Jeremiah 14 from verse 11. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good, when they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I send them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and a deceit of their heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I send them not. Yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. It is not easy. And anyone who thinks that the things of the kingdom of God can be taken lightly is mistaken. God has a plan for His people. He has made a covenant, be it with Israel or with the church, and He demands obedience to His word from us. And where there is disobedience, there's no use in fasting, praying, prophesying, or seeing visions. There's no use at all. Going our own way is of no use at all. God has prescribed the way, and this way must be followed. When people speak who are not sent, even they may promise heaven on earth, and it does not come. It does not come. Only what God has said in His word will come. And this unconditional obedience is necessary. In Jeremiah chapter 12, just the second part of verse 2, Jeremiah 12, 2b, Thou art near in their mouth, and far from their reins. Things can be spoken with a mouth, but are they in the heart? Can God put His word deep inside us? We have already heard that the Lord gave instructions to be obeyed. And let us take a few examples from the Old Testament, from which we will see that God's blessing rests on those who have followed His instructions, that He has never failed to do so. And connected with this is the thought and the implication that we can believe that the Lord is still the same today. We read from Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Here I'm concerned with the one thought that should be emphasized, that God cares for us, that we are not indifferent to Him. To put it in one sentence, God bears responsibility for us. From the moment He spoke to us, called us, and chose us, He took responsibility. Genesis chapter 6 describes the building of the ark. And perhaps I read it because in the letter of Peter it is written about baptism. This, referring to the water, saves you in the same way as the ark into which people entered and then remained safe and protected. Noah was a very simple man. He was not an expert in the field in which he had been commissioned. But God took care of everything. He gave the instructions, the precise instructions on how to build, what to build with, how to organize it. He specified everything in detail, how it should be done. And then he made sure that when he said that the ark was to be built of gopher wood, verse 14, then the wood had to be there. Then God makes sure that his commission can be carried out. Then you don't have to worry about it anymore, because God has the big picture. If he says that the inside and outside of the boat should be coated with pitch, then he makes sure that the material is there, because he has given the commandment. And if it wasn't there and God spoke it, then it would still be there. Do you understand what is meant by this? And if there had been no forest at all from which the fir wood could have been taken, and if God says that this is how it should be built, then he would let the fir trees grow overnight. Because he is God. He takes care of everything. When he gives an order, a command, and says, so and so shall it be done, and there is a man who is prepared to do what God has said, then the material will be there. Then the people will be there. Then everything will be done exactly to measure. God has also given the measurements. He has said where the windows should be, how the floors should be, the individual rooms. Everything has been announced. What was it? God has a concept. He has a plan. And then he reveals his intentions to his servants, the prophets. And then, through the Spirit, they have an understanding of what God wants to have carried out and done. And then he places people at their side, on whom the same Spirit comes, in order to be able to fulfill God's commission as God has said. And that is also what the last message is about now, the last round that God has with his people on earth. It is about the divine concept, namely what God has really said, not what others say. As in the days of the prophet Jeremiah, they saw, they spoke, they talked, but they spoke and saw past God. The word of the Lord had come to Jeremiah and not to all the others who had spoken. And only the one to whom the Lord really spoke should speak. Everything was here. And with this execution of orders, God said clearly, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. People who are destined to be built up as the church of the living God on the most holy foundation of faith that was laid long ago, not just now. And let me say this clearly. Brother Branham did not go beyond the biblical foundation. He was destined to clear up the rubble and everything that had collapsed on top of it, to put things in order anew, just like our predecessors in the apostle ministry, and to restore all things. That was the task. And we have to stick to it. When we build, we must build according to divine instruction. And Paul wrote this out in the same context in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. But let each one see how he continues to build on it. Much is being built, even with wood, straw and stubble, but they build. The important thing is that it is built, so it seems. No, what is important is that it is built as God has said, according to the divine measurements and regulations and instructions and orders. Everything else is built past God. And the day of fire will then give the reckoning for the matter. Reverence for God, for His decisions and instructions, for what He does, is the absolute prerequisite for refraining from all our own actions. Those who do not have the necessary respect for God's word will find many words of their own. Those who do not have respect for God's plan will have their own plans. And there are enough of them who build their own kingdom in the kingdom of God. All, it seems, in the name of the Lord. But the Lord is only present and only bears responsibility where His word is truly received with all respect and put into practice with a willing and believing heart. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God made a covenant with Noah. He told him what to do. And the last verse in Genesis 6 speaks volumes. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Let's go to Exodus, chapter 16. Exodus, chapter 16, verse 4. It says here, Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. What a marvelous word. God has taken responsibility. When there was a shortage of bread, He made sure it was there. When water was lacking, He made sure it came. God has always provided, and because He has not changed, He must still provide today. We know Brother Branham's sermon, He cares. Do you care? And we, for our part, we want to be concerned that what we do can be categorized within the bounds of the Word of God, without bending, without breaking, without interpreting, without making it fit. We do not have to tailor the Word of God to us. We have to conform to the pattern of the Word. As it says of Moses, He did everything according to the pattern shown Him on the Holy Mount. Here, there was a lack of bread. God made it rain down. We think of the Lord's Prayer of Matthew 6, verse 11. When it comes to the revelations of God, to the unveiling of the whole counsel, we have received an insight in this time that is incomparable to all other times. God has bestowed upon us who are living at the end of days the blessings that were intended for us because of the promises given to God's people for this time. Not because we are better. That doesn't matter with God. Every person is the same anyway, even if some feel particularly good. Basically, every person is the same. Every woman is like Eve. Every man is like Adam. There is no difference. In the eyes of God, we are all the same. But God has given us promises, and we gratefully accept them. He has given us the insight to His plan through prophetic revelation. Time and again, there have been people to whom God has given instructions, and they have carried out what He told them, exactly to measure. You can read the measurements everywhere, whether with Noah or later with Moses, when he had to make the tabernacle and whatever he had to make. Everything was always done just as God said. In Exodus 19, we read a word that reminds us of the word we heard at the beginning. Exodus 19, from verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. God said, all the earth is mine, all peoples, all nations, but you, my people, chosen through Abraham, via Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, ye shall be a special people to me. You shall be a kingdom of priests to me. He has already announced in the Old Testament that His people are destined to be kings and priests and will be in His kingdom. And all those who have placed their hope in God from that time will be with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and with all of us in the kingdom of God. For according to Matthew 27:51, many of the saints who have fallen asleep have risen, and with Christ they have come forth and appeared to many in the holy city. For all the earth is mine. God can say the same today. God has something special on the whole earth, a special property, because a covenant has been made, a redemption has taken place. He has a church. This church is a people among the nations of the earth. A church among churches, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a people sanctified by God. It continues in verse 7, and Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered with one accord, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. The term with one accord reminds us of the day of Pentecost. They were gathered with one accord. God's word went forth. The prophet delivered it. all who heard it were with one accord in their hearts. It was a settled matter. God spoke, we listened and believed. Lord, here we are. And they said with one accord, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. If we could say the same, to stand with one accord under the proclamation of the Word of God, to hear the same word, to believe in the same way from the heart, and thus come before the face of God with one accord, and thereby prove ourselves to be His people, people whom He has made kings and priests. If that is the case, for here is the context, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. All those among the people of God who form this holy people, this holy priesthood, this holy kingship in the eyes of God must come to this divine unanimity under the prophetic message, and then God will fulfill all that He has promised. That is the context here. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. After this holy nation, this kingdom of priests, heard the words of God, they answered with one accord, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Blessing rests on doing. We read from Exodus 25. Exodus 25, verse 10. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood. Just to give you an idea, we have only read half the verse. The Ark of the Covenant and everything that was to be made was again made exactly according to the instructions that God had given. To one He said, take fir wood, make the ark out of it. To the other He said, take shittim wood, make the Ark of the Covenant out of it. All men of God have always done as the Lord commanded them. And the blessing rested on it. I desire one thing, whether you believe me or not. I desire one thing, to be found in the perfect will of God and to do what He has commanded. Everything else misses the mark. Everything else is doomed to failure. It can be decorated with fasting and prayer, with seeing visions and prophesying, with all the trimmings. If it is not according to the Word of God, it is doomed to failure. God only takes responsibility when people respond to His word and submit to it, because only then is obedience and faith guaranteed. And faith must not be in what we make up. Faith must be in what God has said. This is the biblical faith that alone leads to divine justification. Our own belief can lead to our own self-righteousness. faith that is valid before God, that comes from His Word, leads to justification by faith. And justification entails obedience, namely the obedience of faith, of which Paul wrote at the end of Romans, that God sent him to work obedience of faith among the Gentiles for the glory of God. In Exodus 25, verse 31, it says, "And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold." Everything was there. The necessary wood was there. The gold was there. Everything was there. Whenever God gave an instruction, He provided the men and the material. He has left no one at a loss. He always provided for what He wanted to be done under all circumstances. Isn't that something marvelous? I am overwhelmed by this thought. We may stand or sit and say to ourselves, "My God, how will it all turn out?" Let this word of God tell us today, everything that God commands us and expects of us, He makes available to us. Amen. Amen. That's how it is. You don't bring that with you, and neither do I. There are enough believers who have their pockets full, who bring everything with them, and then go away empty-handed. And then there are also those who bring nothing but a fine and good empty heart, and then they go away filled. What a grace! God has spoken. His servants and His people have listened. And then all the blessing rests on that. In Exodus 26, verse 1, it speaks of the tabernacle, the tent of revelation that was to be made. It says here, "Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains." Then comes the full description of how it was to be made. In the middle of the desert, where there is nothing, there is everything. There is everything a human being can think of. No, sorry. Everything that God has spoken. Otherwise, it might have just been sand. But when God says, "Make me here now 10 curtains of fine twined linen," and whatever the material is called, then Moses looks. Here's a mountain, and here's a mountain, and there's another mountain. Huh, where shall it all come from? It's there. Because God said so. We have repeatedly heard this term, the spoken word. God speaks out things that He wants to have done, and He has the people and the material, and it happens just as He has said. Nobody's running around headlessly to get the things. They are there. You can rely on that. Here, in Exodus 26:7, it says, "And thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering upon the tabernacle." That was there too. Basically everything. You can read on. Verse 14 says, "And thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram's skins dyed red, and a covering above of manatee skins." Well, I would also like to be in the remote sandy desert and then work with manatee skins. It would be a beautiful thing. But if God said so, then that's the way it is. He will make it happen. And if they weren't in the sea, they would be there after all. And if they are not in the desert, they will be in the desert, because God said so. Oh, that we could believe it. What God needs is not people who make good suggestions to Him, but people who can believe His revealed word for this time. To look like Abraham and Moses, not at the visible, but on the invisible, as if they could see Him and trust Him in the knowledge that He will do all the things He once done, that He will make sure that the right people and all the materials are there at the right time. Or don't you believe that? Do you think God says something and doesn't make sure that what He has said can be done and carried out? Our God is not a philosophical God or a theoretical God. Our God is always practical. He does not speak into the wind. He speaks to His people through the mouth of His servants and prophets. Here we have marvelous examples of people following God's instructions. We can now only express one wish. Lord, let us know Your ways and give us Your instructions so that we can do them and carry them out. That is all we need. An obedient heart, believing God and His holy word, and such trust as Abraham had when he was to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, who could say to his servants, "You stay here, my son and I will go to worship, and then we will come back." And he knew exactly that he had to offer him as a sacrifice on the altar. He believed that God had promised him that through Isaac he would bless all the kindreds of the earth. And therefore he believed that if he offered him as a sacrifice, God would raise him from the dead there and then, and they would both come back. We are sons of Abraham. Brother Branham used the phrase in a sermon, "Abraham believed God, and he took the 25 years and said, we claim to be the seed of Abraham, and we can't believe God for 25 minutes. We sang, oh, that you could believe. Believe what? Me or you? No, the word of God's promise. Believe that God has already provided the land and the people, the material and everything that goes with it. Jahweh Jireh, the Lord provides. The Lord provides. You all know, when Abraham heard the voice from above, his hand was raised, the knife in his hand to go down, and the hand stays up because the voice comes from above, "Abraham, Abraham," and so is his hand. Do nothing to the Son. I have seen Your obedience. He looked round, and there was the ram, the male sheep, with his horns caught in the thicket. And there too, Brother Branham says, if it had not been there, God would have seen to it that it was there. A symbol of Jesus Christ, our Lord, of the Lamb of God, who was sacrificed for us on Golgotha. We all would have to suffer death, but suddenly we realized that He did it for us. He took our place. How long do we want to go round in circles and ask the question of our forgiveness again and again? As surely as God lives and Jesus Christ died, your sins and mine were atoned for and forgiven when the blood flowed on Calvary. God was in Christ and reconciled the world to Himself. And that is what we believe. Whoever does not believe this makes God a liar and will carry things around him again and again without ever experiencing the joy of divine justification and the peace of God, which is higher than all the understanding of men. It is one thing to sing hymn number 300 from our songbook, "When peace like a river attendeth my way," and quite another to carry that divine peace and make peace where you walk and where you stand. A completely different thing. The one can be a song, and the other is reality. But when words and deeds, song and sermon, life and word, when all this is in agreement, then we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have forgiveness. Then we have grace. Then we have salvation. I can ask you, what don't we have then? Shouldn't God also give us everything with Him? He has done it. Let us believe it. We need worry about nothing more than to believe God, to think of ourselves as a holy nation of kings and priests of our God. And it humbles us when we realize what grace has been bestowed upon us. And then gratitude arises in our hearts. Gratitude for what God has said in His Word. Let's read from Exodus 28. Exodus 28, verse 3. "And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the Spirit of wisdom." God gave the instruction. He spoke the words. He said what should be done. And He had the people. He had the people. Sure, Moses couldn't do everything. There were many who helped. "Thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the Spirit of wisdom." God has already equipped those who were to share in the work. Everyone was an artist in the job, in the task God had given him. A foolish comparison is not appropriate here, but God will not put good-for-nothings or do-nothings to one of His works. He will equip, He will give wisdom and understanding so that what He has ordered can be carried out exactly as He has ordered. What does all this tell us? A lot to me. And I hope to all of us. If someone thinks they can come and already have all the abilities, then they are in the wrong place with God. But if God chooses us and calls us, then all the incompetent and all the ignorant should come, and God will enlighten them, will equip them, will give them what they need to carry out the task He has set. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom. God has put the skills in people. And suddenly there was some nobody, a man who had no idea at all, and suddenly he took things in his hand, and perhaps the other tool in the other hand, and here one miracle after another happens. This is where it comes to light, through people whom God has destined. I almost said, sorry, who didn't know as much about it as the man in the moon. Suddenly, everything was different, because God had spoken. God had a program, a plan, and said, Moses, you are here. The people are here. Get to work now. I have already equipped the people you are addressing with skills. Everything will be harmonious and beautiful. Our God is a wonderful God. He can turn people who have no clue into men of God in one fell swoop. At the moment, I can't think of anyone better than Saul of Tarsus. He had a lot of knowledge, just not of what God wanted. He knew a lot about scholarship and against scholarship. But suddenly, the one who has a plan appeared to him, and he took him on as a co-worker, appointed him. And Paul later put it like this: when it pleased him who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his son in me. It was then no longer the ability of Paul, but the power of God. It was not a Moses, it was not a Noah, it was not all these men who could have said later, look, we've done a beautiful thing, haven't we? They were surprised themselves. They themselves were stunned by what was suddenly given to them by inspiration and what has come before them through craftsmanship. It's the same with all of us. We don't come here with all our abilities. We come here because God has called us. Hallelujah. We come here to be equipped. I tell you, God will give success to the poorest bungler, for He works both the willing and the doing. With God, all things are possible. The Lord Himself has put the understanding for everything that should be done into the people who have to do it. One man was to make the curtains. Suddenly, he had all the ideas that were needed. He had all the measurements, all the colors, all the different materials. He had everything. It was all there. No supervisor was needed. The other one was supposed to make the golden candlestick. Golden candlestick. What does it look like? What does it look like? And then the Lord says, it should be made from one piece. So he has really a big lump of gold. And he looks at it. Yes, and where's the candlestick? Where are the seven arms? Where's the lampstand? And suddenly it was there, because God said so. That strengthens my faith. People whom God has called do not have their own abilities or their own program, but they let themselves be integrated into God's program and equipped with the skills so that everyone could carry out the task given to them by God in a professional and appropriate manner. Perhaps just quickly from Exodus 28, from verse 15. Exodus 28, from verse 15, is the description of the breastplate. Verse 17 then says, "And thou shalt set in it settings of stones, even four rows of stones." And then they are all listed. Everything was there. There were precious stones. There was gold. Curtains could be made. There were manatee skins. Yes, I ask you, what was not there? Everything that was in God's concept, in His plan, it was all there. All the material, the people were there, because God was there, because His word was there, because His people were there, because He had given the promises. May God open my eyes and yours and tear us out of unbelief in which we only wander around and give ourselves a headache about how things should be. In faith, we see a called out, a purified, a sanctified, a decorated bride. This is what God has said. I ask you today, will He provide all the material? Will He give everything we need? I say to you, He has given it. He has provided. Here we find many instructions. We heard it in the opening word. If ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be my people. Here we find a large number of examples in which God's instructions have been observed, and the blessing of God rested on it. All 12 precious stones were there, or I think there were 12 rows, 4 rows, 3 stones each. God basically took care of everything. Maybe the same 3 were in one row. That could be. It doesn't really matter. In any case, everything that God had in His plan was there. And what He commanded to be done was carried out. Should something have changed with God? That is far from it. Jesus Christ remains the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He will finish the work He has begun in all of us. There is no other way than this way of God. Let us recognize today and take it to heart and believe that God has a people of kings and priests, a first fruit that is destined to take part in the rapture. It will be with one accord under the proclamation of the Word of God. They will witness how God will do the individual things that are yet to be done, not through teaching, not through knowledge, but when the hour of God strikes, the things of which he has spoken will be a reality. Did any of these people wander about and speak of these things, or did they go to work? Was it theory? No. Was it interpretation? No. What was it? Divine reality among the people of God in the hour that God had ordained. It will be the same now. Absolutely nothing has changed with God. Just one more verse, chapter 28, verse 36. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold and grave upon it like the engravings of a signet dedicated to the Lord. Three words, dedicated to the Lord. They would be enough for me. They would be enough for me, dedicated to the Lord. Where God speaks, where he finds people who believe him, finds people whom he can equip to fulfill the tasks, and where there is a people of kings and priests, there will suddenly also be a plate, as it's written here, which should be put on, engraved upon it, like the engravings of a signet, dedicated to the Lord. Oh, how shall we thank our God? Who can grasp it? He has a plan with the church. He has a plan with Israel. And to be even more specific, he has a plan with his beloved bride. This is God's program. If we are a multitude of kings and priests, then we are ordained to suffer with him and reign with him. Then we are categorized among those who belong to the bride church. And then there is a signet engraved on us, consecrated to the Lord. We are the saints of God. You may think in unbelief. I have to speak in faith. We have to decide. We have to decide whether we want to think in unbelief or whether we want to speak in faith. Whoever does not believe God, and here I repeat myself, makes him a liar. But he who believes will not be put to shame. Show me one case where people have been put to shame, who have let themselves be molded into the will of God. Receive it today. Accept it today. Consecrated to the Lord, set apart, called out, destined to behold the glory of God. The same God of Moses is our God today. And when Brother Branham was called, the angel of the Lord told him, as two signs were given to Moses, so shall two signs be given to you. The same pillar of fire that was with Moses and later appeared to Paul was with Brother Branham. Blessed is the man who does not add to the words of divine revelation and does not take away from them. And there are some who say it out loud, you are where the Lord left off in 1965, aren't you? Well, let me put it this way. As far as preaching is concerned, we are there and we will remain there. And I would like you all to say amen to that. As far as the proclamation is concerned, we are there and we remain there. We stop where God left off. If He started with us, we can't help it. If God never started with us, well, there's no stopping. Where God was silent, we remain silent. Where He spoke, we speak. Where He began, we begin. Where He left off, we stop. And someone may dance here or shout there. At the moment, it doesn't bother us. The only thing that saddens me and us is when we realize after real judgment that we are not yet where God wants us to be. But we certainly don't solve the problem by our own actions and our own interpretations. On the contrary, we create further other problems that form an obstacle for us. And we can do without that. With God's help, we will continue until we come from believing unto seeing. May this reflection on the Word, which was taken from the Old Testament, apart from the passage in Matthew 6, verse 11, have something to say to us today as the New Testament Church. All Scripture is given and profitable for doctrine, so that we may understand the ways of God better and, if possible, correctly. God gives instructions, and where they are carried out, He provides the land and the people, the materials and the skills, and everything comes from Him. And that's why we have to offer Him alone our deepest gratitude. I only wish that the Spirit of God could reveal to each and every one of us what we have looked at in the Word today. God cares. He is not late. He has already prepared everything that He has commanded or demanded in His Word. Everything is ready. Can we all believe it? Amen. Amen. Let us rise to thank the Lord. Lord, I thank You for Your precious and holy Word, for all the examples in which we have seen Your faithfulness and care. You had people on earth whom You could address, whom You could include in Your plan, to whom You could give instructions. Lord, it was then a people of kings and priests dedicated to the Lord, as it was written on their foreheads. Lord, You have a sealed multitude, a chosen multitude, who believe You, who have received Your Word, who will become part of what You intend to do. And we too will marvel at the grace You will reveal among those who are consecrated to You, a people of kings and priests at rest in God, fully believing the Word of promise, abiding in the Word to the end. Faithful God, grant us a holy reverence for You and Your Word, for Your instructions and decisions, for everything You do. Put an end to all human fuss among Your people, and let Your time have dawned, in which You distribute, equip, empower, give grace as in the beginning, through the revelation of the Spirit, to those who have received the revelation of your word and your name. Lord, you have overwhelmed us and made us realize anew that you provide everything in the middle of the desert for bread and for water, for clothing, for everything, even for manatee skins. Lord my God, everything is possible for you. Who can grasp it? You are our God and will remain the same for all eternity. May we be truly consecrated to you in this hour, and may your word become a divine reality in us. Lord, as it is written, consecrated to the Lord. Do this with me and with all of us for the glorification and honor of your holy name. In the end, everything will have been accomplished as you said in your word. Make us obedient, make us willing, take away all our own, and glorify thy name, and confirm thy word. I thank you for the lesson we were allowed to learn from your word this morning. Glory be to you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Abraham, the God of Moses, the God of Noah. You are our God, for there is only you and no one else. Hallelujah. All honor to your glorious name. Amen.